Hello? Wow, it works. High tech. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. So I think everybody's getting settled in. This is my first experience speaking at a really big theater. And this is tricky because I have some toys to give away and I just can't throw super far. So if anyone wants to come closer to increase their chances of being pelted on the side of a head with a t-shirt or a teddy bear, now's a good time. Awesome. You know, what was that? I can't even see you. Where are you? Where are you? Wave. Who just said that? How far can you throw? Right there? Not far enough. Awesome. So there are small, medium, large t-shirts. There's not enough for everybody, because if I would have brought this many t-shirts, customs would have charged me 1,000... I'm trying to think. It's not 1,000 pounds or 1,000 quid. It's, what do you say in New Zealand? 1,000 New Zealand dollars. Would have been expensive. Okay. So let's go. Pick your poison, pick your target. Multi-platform development with .NET. Rest assured, I'm going to read the slides, so you don't even have to come here. You could just see the slideshow, right? Not really, that was a joke. It's morning, though, right? Morning. So this is a little about me. I have a bit of a varied background. I used to be an attorney, PhD in mathematics. Used to work at Microsoft, wrote a C++ book. And right now, I work at Intellectual Ventures, blasting mosquitoes with laser beams. So fairly high-tech stuff, very cool. I gave a talk about it on Wednesday. And basically the idea is to surround a village with electronics to zap mosquitoes from going past the boundary and therefore protect a village from malaria. So pretty cool stuff. You can read about it on the internet. Or I think you probably can download my presentation from Wednesday if you're interested. Or you can pop me an email. I have absolutely accessible if you want to hear anything about it. Xamarin. So first question is, really, why do we care? Why do you care about C-sharp being able to be deployed, .NET on Android, on iPhone, on Windows Phone, on Windows devices? Why do we even care? What are we after? What's the dream? Well, I think that's such an obvious answer that I feel stupid asking the question, right? Ideally, you'd like to focus on what your app is and let the consumer decide what kind of platform he wants to use it on, he or she, right? You know, you want to be putting your core time in developing what makes your app special and really cool, and you just don't want to be spending time, oh, goodness gracious, I've got to have an iPhone project, and I've got to learn how to use Objective-C, iOS. And then I've got a Java over here, and I've got C-sharp over here. So why do we care? Because it's obvious, right? So Xamarin is a venue to do this. And I think it's very, very cool technology. So on the coolest scale of very cool things, I like to say that 10 is saran wrap, and 1 is sliced bread. Now, you're not even on this scale unless you're already cool, right? Because sliced bread, 1928, became like the baseline for cool things, the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then Mel Brooks came along in the 2,000-year-old man that said the pinnacle of human invention was saran wrap. So I would give the Xamarin stuff about a 7. If you're not going to laugh at that one, it's going to be a long, long hour. Okay, so let's talk about some of the advantages. C-sharp and not Objective-C or Java. Only need to write one application, and you get to use the .NET instead of the Java virtual machine. These are huge. I mean, even, you know, when I was at Blizzard and when I was at Microsoft, and then in both those places, we were writing hardcore C, right? But if we wanted to prototype something, if we wanted to see exactly how an algorithm worked, you know, if we want to just get it going, and we would use Python. No, we would use C#, actually. So it's just a fantastic language for just getting it in and getting it done. And then the cool thing about it is it's very testable, it's very robust, and you find that once you've written this prototype code, you can actually leave it. And then it's only like, just the way it is, just the way, the first way you conceived it. It's very organized, well-designed language. Obviously, I love Microsoft stuff, even though that's a Mac over there and that's an iPhone. No, but I really do love, I love C#. It's a great language. It's just, it has legs. It's fantastic. Java's not so bad. C# done better, in my opinion. Objective-C, really, you have to hire an Objective-C expert or spend a significant amount of time understanding the way that language works. It's just the way that it convolves the logic of the application and the runtime into... Yeah, so just for just hearing me say the word convolve, you guys deserve something, because that was, like, horrible. So you'll find that the sizes of these things are small, medium, large, did I say? And there's teddy bears. Please trade. I can barely see you guys. These are my computer glasses. So I don't even know who's small, medium, and large, really. They're just letters, right? Just put on whatever you get. Okay, so you get to use .NET and not JVM, and you only need to write one application. So we know what's very cool about this stuff. I'll give you a little bit of history of Xamarin. And I'll say, first of all, why do we care? Why do you care about the history of Xamarin? I mean, this is like something we just should discuss with on a beer and a bar, right? No, but actually it's pretty relevant for a few things that happened. The first thing is that's really significant. So basically, this stuff all comes out of the Mono technology, you know, the big open source competition for .NET. And the really significant things is you'll find in 2009, Microsoft made a community promise to not sue based on ECMA 334 and 335, I believe, right? Which basically says, yes, Xamarin, you can exist. Also, in 2011, Attachmate grants technology license to Xamarin. So those two events basically say that although you're writing .NET for an iPhone, neither Microsoft or some of the other industry parties are going to come to sue and shut down your application. And this was a hotly debated thing. It was only really decided just in the last few years. Coincidentally, when this legal stuff was being resolved is when Xamarin made huge progress on actually making your app, making the entire technology to the level where it's commercial and it's not just an experimental thing. When they started this stuff back in 2000 and, now you can see how close I can see, 2001, Xamarin, started Mono as open source. Again, they had wanted to do it as a commercial opportunity, but they just found it was just too big. And so what is this? We have a C# compiler, we have .NET libraries, and so on. There are some restrictions on a little bit of the licensing, but it's being worked out as time goes by. For example, ASP.NET, ADO.NET, and Windows Forms are still legally up in the air. But I think we can... based on what's happened in the past and where things are going, I think it's a pretty safe bet to go this direction. So I'm really excited about it. So what is this and what is it not? It is not write once, use everywhere. Write once, use everywhere is this great paradigm which works in very small, certain target applications that are just perfect. It's basically you write your generic logic code and then it's manifested. Everywhere, right? Everywhere. Magic. Who believes in magic? Nobody? Some people? Anybody see Now You See Me? Who believes in Santa Claus? Easter Bunny? As Nat Friedman likes to put, unicorns. Who believes in unicorns? Yeah. There you go. People are saying this just because they want a t-shirt. You think if you raise your hand... You raise your hand about unicorns, you get a t-shirt. Is that what? Wow. So if you get two, please pass one on. Though, Seriously, if you feel that competitive need that you need to grab for three or four, that's totally okay, you know? Just share afterwards, right? Okay, here we go. Okay, that was. I was aiming over there. Okay, so the key here is it's not right once anywhere, because right once anywhere gives you the lowest common denominator. You write an app, and it looks funky on all the platforms except for the one it was specifically written. Or you can, I mean, you can do like Adobe, which their products look foreign wherever you go. It's like they don't conform to any of the, you know, they don't, it doesn't feel like a native app. It doesn't necessarily have the performance of a native app. It just doesn't fit in. And, it doesn't necessarily support the functionality. So the three things we look for when we want a truly native app is that it takes advantage of all the hardware that exists on the device, that it conforms to the look and feel, so people know how to use it intuitively, right? You know how long it took me to figure out that when things go wrong in Adobe, you use Control-D or Command-D, you know, in a Photoshop to try to get it? It's ridiculous, right? I'm pressing the escape key and it's not working. So the last thing, which is always in a big question for some of this technology, is where we can get whether we can get full functionality. Because these platforms are fundamentally different in the way that they do things. So that's also another thing that needs to be taken into account, right? As it turns out, roughly 75%, depending on your application, is going to sit in this shared code. 75% of an individual application, shall we say. Don't hit the microphone, right? So basically, of your 100% of your Mac app, 75% would be shared, 25% might be in the iOS, and another 25 in the Android. You'll get this is going to add up to more than 100. Adds up to more, it's like Congress with a budget. Okay. So let's talk about one of these big things is performance, right? So one thing that's very cool about .NET and the Java Virtual Machine as well is that there's a runtime portion, which your C# is compiled into an intermediate language, right? And then the IL is run on the fly, and because of this, the runtime can make great decisions about how to manage resources and what functions to generate, for example. And you can't do this on the Mac, on the iPhone. And my phone doesn't support this kind of model at all. Everything needs to be compiled into a binary, for example, right? The Android is based on the Java Virtual Machine. And we're making, again, CIL, common CIL, the common language. So the question is, how do we deal with these sorts of things? So what Xamarin does is that for the Mac, they use ahead of time compilation, which means it compiles your C# into an executable binary. And this comes with a few limitations. There are certain things that cannot be done. And an example, there are certain things with reflection where that would really need to be determined at runtime, which just won't work on an iPhone, right? Another thing, there are some limitation with generics. A lot of times when you write a generic routine, it cannot like write a generic that works with any type of object. It generates two slightly different functions depending, and that can also cause the compiler problems. Is that a question? You had your hand up. You. It's worth a try. So ahead of time compilation, Android. So as it turns out, the C# to binary works really good. You get full performance, comparable to other Mac apps. And the IL to executable, and usually there's a JIT that runs on the Android, which again works full speed. It's comparable, if not faster, than the native Android ones. So let's talk about my development platform. So basically, with Xamarin technology, you have a couple of choices. One is you use the Xamarin Studio on your Mac, and then you use Visual Studio on the PC, or you can use Xamarin Studio on the PC, and then you do Android one place or the other, and it's sort of pulled apart, right? So what I like to do is I use Visual Studio for everything, okay? I will use Visual Studio inside a Windows 8 64-bit VM with two processors, which is necessary, and I'll run Visual Studio, and it'll create Windows Phone and Android phone emulators within the VM, and it'll talk to the Mac, and it'll create an iOS iPhone simulator outside the VM. So this is great. Why is this great? You have one solution with all your projects. One solution with all your projects, right? You, in Visual Studio, you've got your Mac project, you've got your Android project, you've got your Windows project, you've got your shared code, you've got your unit tests. It's all bundled together. So you can make a change, you can build it everywhere, and you know it's good. This is fabulous. You just think team environment, think enterprise, think source control, all the ways that this actually works. And also, you know, everybody's on the same page. Everybody's got the same platform, right? Other things you can do just with a VMware Studio and Mac working together is, do you guys know what Bing Google means? Or Bing Google? Bing Google? So when I search, I Bing Google. I don't Bing, I don't Google. I get the best answers for what I'm looking for. I get the best search results. I don't really care so much about the path. Of course, I don't work for Microsoft at the moment. Choose the best tool for the job, right? Choose the best tool for the job. When I'm on VMware Studio, I might be inside the VM using PowerShell or Command Prompt for something or Sigwin or whatever, or I might be the outside using Bash, and I'll have shared folders configured so I can do all those esoteric Bash commands, find dot, dash I name, blah, 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 right? And the back ticks, and you write these really complicated things. I can use Perl, I can use Python, I can use all the tools that are available on Windows and Unix at the same time to get the best code. So that's me. Here's a question. Does that picture seem disturbing to anybody? This is a picture of me making my PowerPoint with a picture of the PowerPoint, which is a picture of the PowerPoint, which is, how do you make this? Does anybody know how to make this photo? This actually took me a while. I had to stick the picture there with a fake one, take a picture, and then replace that picture, and take another picture, replace that picture, take another picture. I had to do it 4 times, and I thought this could go on forever. Could I use what? Who said that? I'm going to hit him. Could you make sure he gets that, please? Awesome. That's for the... All right. Could use the mirror. Okay. Developing on a Mac host, Visual Studio's base, I really talked about this a lot. It's just great, and it just works. IJW, it just works. Developing on a Macintosh, Apple 101 is get a real Mac. Really, right? Okay, i7, I got an i7, I've got 8 gigabytes of RAM, I got the latest OS. Why torture yourself, right? Really, why torture yourself? I want one of those. This is a great quote. On the Mac, when it's time to upgrade, you just pick it up, throw it away, and buy a new one. Now that's convenience. You can download the Mac Switch parody video from Red versus Blue Rooster. The Red versus Blue guys, they make those great Halo. Anyway, this is just the funniest thing ever. But it's, in a way, it's true. Just like you don't, that iMac or Mac Mini or MacBook Air or whatever you have, which is a great toy, and put it over on the side and use it as a server. Right? Get something with some power if you're doing stuff like this, and you just save yourself a lot of headache. Okay, I already talked about this, didn't I? See what the Mac has to offer as a host. I said about Bash and tools and your favorite editor, and it's great stuff. And use shared folders, I said, between the target and the host. And here's another one I didn't mention, is take advantage of multiple VMs. When you're using a VMware Fusion or something like that, you should be testing the network aspect of your stuff. You should be testing the web aspect of your stuff, right? I mean, you should have an Ubuntu VM, and you should see how Ubuntu Firefox works with the web access of your stuff. Make sure it works on Safari. Make sure it works on Internet Explorer on the PC. You should be doing all these things. If you have cross-PC communication, you should be testing these things. I mean, there's various... This is part of being a developer, is doing it right, yeah? So... Do you guys feel like you've been schooled? How many people feel guilty? Awesome. God. All right. Okay, see if we can get this right here. You. That was off. That was off. You know, the joke used to be this guy's good for the Pittsburgh Pirates, but actually they're winning this year. Bang. Oh, that was off. This is like, you know, like they just, I'm American. They just like roll their eyes and say, "There's another one," you know. This is a basic idea. Yeah. She looked at me. How many of these are there? That's right, there's going to be a market in these things. Okay, where are we here? Okay, so I've told you all the wonderful marketing crap. Can you say that word in New Zealand? Crap? Shtick? I don't know. That's Yiddish. How great it is. It turns out that sometimes it's a little bit feisty to get this thing set up correctly, and actually there's a lot of information on the web on people who have gotten this 3-in-1 paradigm working, and I'm going to go through the basic setup and tell you a couple of the gotchas, but basically, you know, you might expect to spend half a day or so making sure you've got your emulation right, that you can really build on all and develop on all three platforms. So that's pretty much, I think it's worth your time to see what I'm going to show you. So it's just sometimes it's a little feisty. Keep all your software updated on both sides. You may see things like this if you don't have things configured correctly. Generic failure. Okay. I know what that means. We used to say that this was an indication that you should switch to a Mac, but the Mac's worse because it just fails. It doesn't tell you why. This is like, I mean, it's like the question of whether, well, no, that's a bad joke. This is like whether a computer is going to leave a suicide note or not. Windows does. Mac doesn't. Okay. So, a couple things. We go to our settings. We want to make sure that we're set up to use two processor cores instead of one in our VM. And the reason why is because we're going to end up using one core for the Windows Phone emulator itself. And then we're going to want to enable hypervisor applications in this VM. And I'm assuming you can either download my slides or know enough from this stuff where you could pick it up, the pieces from the web, because this is all over the web. So what we just did is in the VMware settings, we set VHV enable as true. It's not enough, because although we've enabled this VM to be hypervisor enabled, the programs inside can still detect that they're on a hypervisor-enabled computer, and they know they're an emulator with an emulator, and so they don't like it, because they don't like that paradigm. So what you do is you also have to edit the VMX itself, which is the text file which defines the VM, to change the CPU ID it's going to report to be this. And so you're basically hacking your VM. And with luck, I'll show you guys how to do this. So you'd find your VM, Show package contents. Find the VMX file. Open with the text editor. And then it's really easy. You just go down into the bottom and add that thing that I said with the hypervisor.cpuid.v0 equals false. So there it is right there. You know, I probably could have just told you this, but I was testing out this video and PowerPoint thing, and it's just... So the next 20 slides are all videos like this. Nobody's laughing at that one. Okay, I guess we won't do that. We won't do that. So let's make a simple multi-target application, right? It's really, actually really, really easy. What you're going to do is you're going to be, let's talk about shared code design here. You're going to have a project for your common code, which could be huge, right? And you're going to have unit tests for it, and then you're going to have the three UI projects. Now, for those of you who have done .NET programming before, you'll notice that there's a couple different ways that we can use shared code, natural ways. One way is that in your shared code projects, you create class libraries, which you just link in, or you use, right? And then the other way to do it is you actually link the projects together, and the source code appears as a reference in the project you're working on. And that works better for this paradigm. That's great for the paradigms which are sharing UI. The other paradigm where class libraries are best when the UI elements, UI support. I'm not exactly saying that right. But anyway, if you're going to have something that's purely a calculation engine, then you can certainly put it just in a class library. When you do it with a project link, you actually can take advantage of things like you could have partial classes cutting across the project, for example. So our main goal is keeping the design simple, right? We want to avoid any strangeness, like this, for example. This is from Trade Me. I don't know how relevant is the talk, but it's cheap. It's 5 seconds. Yes. I'm using 64-bit VMs because we need to use Windows 8 64. Yeah, everything works great. And that's necessary for the Windows phone, that it requires that version for everything to be great. You need to be on Windows 8 and Windows 64. Did you get a t-shirt? I should give you another small one. They're all small. What happened here? I don't know. You guys will have to trade afterwards. Because you asked a question. Here, throw me your small back. Okay, awesome there. That was another small, by the way. Okay, so here's the I try to have, you know, whenever I speak in New Zealand, I try to wear my all-black tie and have at least one sheep joke in my slide deck. Okay, so now let's go through and build this project. So, you open up Visual Studio. I hope you can see the slides. I'll try to say what's on them, but the screenshots are a little bit difficult. You create a new Windows Phone app, Windows Phone 8. And please go forward. There we go. And I'm going to call it Hello VS, Hello Visual Studio. This is similar to a sample that's on the web, so it should make it easy to line things up as well. Mine's a little bit different. So you create the Hello VS solution and the Hello VS.Windows project. Okay. And then we're going to make a class library for the common code. File, new project, Hello VS. Class library, just a generic class library for Windows, add to solution. And then we're going to use Project Linker, as I described. So you're going to select HelloVS.Windows, add Project Link when you right-click on it, and then select HelloVS. So there we go. Now, let's look at this code for a moment. Can people see this, by the way? Okay. So the interesting thing here is we have two projects. We have our shared code project on the top, HelloVS, and then we have HelloVS.Windows, which is our startup project, right? Now look at the references in HelloVS.Windows. See, the common code is not showing as a reference. It's a project link. It's not the same thing. Okay? So a project link instead will give you something like this. The class1.cs has that little blue icon on it, which is actually an arrow that says, we're referring to that one up there. So that one there and that is the exact same. Okay? Any questions on that? It doesn't give you as much as we want to do is probably the best answer. That would be a good one to come ask me afterwards about the benefits of using Project Linker versus making it a separate DLL and compiling and linking in. Again, there are I touched on a few advantages, but it's the whole paradigm. Typically, project linking would be done for, it grew out of the effort to do like multi-target WPF and Silverlight applications with the same project. And so there's a whole history of it. It works really well for this stuff. So yeah, if you could come ask me, we could talk about that afterwards. So this is a Fibonacci event generator. Pretty simple. Basically, I've got a property that returns the next Fibonacci number and goes ahead and increments the next. It returns a string. This could be any old string. I'm just going to put this in the common code. Right, it could be anything you want. It's just, I like Fibonacci because Fibonaccis are cool, right? As a mathematician, I mean, for example, what's the seventh Fibonacci number mod 7? People aren't like saying. What was that? I don't know. Who said I don't know? Minus one, by the way. There's some interesting properties of Fibonacci numbers, mod primes, which I study, which is really cool. So anyway, Fibonacci generator. Oh, creating the GUI. Looks like we have a video. Okay, this is really easy. We're just going into actually standard. Just we make a button here, and then we go to the properties of the button. We change the content to say camel case. Funny looking camel. Click me. Go to the toolbox, pull out a text block. There. Wow, I gotta work on my GUI skills. It's a video though. It's a video. Give it a name. And clear out the empty the default text. Okay, so what do we got here? We've got a very simple, I've got a button. And I've got text, right? It's really very simple. There's nothing, there's no rocket science here. So now I'm going to double click on that click me button. And then I'm going to add this code to the code that comes up on the screen, right? You double click on the button in the XAML and you get the little C# editor and there you go. And you notice that I'm actually not really doing anything that complicated. I add a using to the top so I can access these things, and then I create an instance of a class, which we made, which I aptly called class 1 because that was the least amount of work I could do. And then I just added this text equals the string property. Now we're back here again. How did we get back here again? It's because I want you to show you that little green button at the top of the screen there where you just click it, and now you have a complete application generating Fibonacci numbers on the Windows phone. So that's cool. That's not new, right? So now let's create an Android project. It's actually pretty much the same thing. We go to the Android application. It turns out that the Android application already has the GUI elements. Wow, it's already got a button and a, you know, it's actually not that complicated. It's just basically you're getting the Android Hello World and we're just changing it a tiny bit. But again, it's the exact same thing. We using Hello VS, we make a class, we add the property to it. One button click. And oh, that didn't work. Okay, so little Android app comes up. You can find hellovs.droid. And Hello World, click me. Fibonacci 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, so on and so forth. Huh, it's kind of cool. It was fast, though. You know, the amount of time we spent making an Android after we had a Windows phone was just nothing, right? It's not always going to be this way. Create iOS project, same thing. Just, you know, now we're making an iPhone one. And here's a gotcha. You must, after you do this, right-click on your iPhone project, or iOS project, and go and set the iOS application settings. This is critical, and this is oft missed when you try to go through samples on the web. You must fill out the identifier, version, application name. If you do not, you will take your iPhone simulator down permanently. I mean, like, you'll have to do surgery on your Mac to fix it. The surgery on the Mac, actually, it's not that complicated. It's a Unix thing. You basically just go to the place where it's saving its settings, and you drag it to the trash, and you start over. But don't forget, right? So there's, again, fun gotcha. Cost me about 4 hours. Hopefully I saved 4 hours for everyone in this room. Just, like, count all those hours. Refunded. Okay, figure it out yourself, right? So, same thing, more or less. No, it's not really the exact same code, per se. Now we're doing a button set title. You know, the Androids and the Mac ones, we're changing the title of the button. But if you've had any experience with C#, and I mean any, I mean you picked up let's say you knew some other language and you picked up a C# book and you read it for 3 hours, this is, you can kind of feel what's kind of going on here, right? This is at a very thin slice right now. And you add that, and then we now, you might ask why I stopped there. How many people want to see more Fibonacci numbers? If I kept going, actually, it would go negative after a while. That would be too embarrassing, so we didn't want to see that happen. That's how easy it is. I mean, it was basically those few steps, and you have something working on all three platforms. And don't underestimate that, you know, because the whole thing on development of these sorts of things is setting yourself up to succeed, right? Putting yourself in a position where you have something's basically running, and you can set breakpoints on it, and you can step through it, and you can see what's going on, and you can see, oh gosh, I broke something. Basically, it's just your standard regression thing. That's all you need to have something working on all three platforms. So you're really well set up to just go from there. And you don't have to know that much about GUIs to say, okay, now I'm going to spend the next 2 weeks working on the common code. And I'll use MS test or whatever to do my testing infrastructure. And then maybe I'll add a little bit more to the GUI of these other guys to make sure they're all okay. But it's really, I mean, the paradigm of having something working and keeping it working is just the way to go. I'm sorry, what was that? So Xamarin itself provides connections between Xamarin and Visual Studio. So in this particular case, if you went to, basically you'd be using the Mac tools, you're using Xcode, right? It'll pull in the Xcode stuff, and so you can do it from there. So on the Mac, on the host. Yeah. Right. Here's a T-shirt. So the next thing we're going to do, the answer is I don't know. I would guess it's on compile time, because it's pretty clear when you're generating the stuff what kind of IL you're making. And it's very well documented which things do and don't work. So you can go to the Xamarin website. And actually, the list is surprisingly small and relatively intuitive. If you're doing something that really requires a lot of runtime knowledge, you're going to get a problem. But I believe it's compile time. Any other questions? Yes. So, I wasn't aware that any Mac emulator or Mac simulator was running on anything but a Mac because of licensing issues. If that's now changed, great. I mean, there's nothing special about what's going on here. This is all very, very generic. It's just, it's pulling and using in some Mac programs like Xcode and and the iPhone simulator to get certain results for building and so on. But there's no rocket science. There's no rocket science. Yeah.
If you want to go beyond the basics, are there like useful abstractions for things like cameras and other devices?
Absolutely. So one thing that it's not write runs run anywhere. This is not a classic HAL hardware abstraction layer model. There are classes that are all Mac specific. And there are classes that are Android specific, and there are classes that are Windows specific. Well, classes for Windows specific, it's called .NET, Silverlight, or Windows Phone or whatever the actual paradigm is will run on, depending. But the Mac ones are not Silverlight. That was it. But the Mac ones are very specific, right? Question. I have not. This is just what I use. I haven't. I know that VMware Fusion works really, really well on a Mac, but I would not be surprised if other companies aren't coming around to do alternatives. Where do we go from here? Well, I would definitely download the StockTrader app, Microsoft StockTrader sample app, written by Intergen, New Zealand. And they have support for it. And it's a great way to see all this stuff in action. It's really cool. I'd also be, there's also the Xamarin component store, and there's the Microsoft Azure component that you can add to your app. Basically, think of it this way. The Windows stuff is all there, and then you're going to need extra libraries for things that don't necessarily come in generic Mac or Android, and these are provided either by Xamarin or by the component store and so on. So it's like little shim layers. And I think related content. Any C Sharp or Azure talk is related. Big, right? Find me later at your convenience. And evaluate this session. So it's exactly 9:45, which actually is amazing. Of course, I would have said it was 9:45 if it was like anywhere in the range of around 9:45. So this is the time I'm supposed to stop and ask you for questions. Yes.
Yeah, if you're wanting to get into Xamarin, what sort of offers does it do for companies to start trying?
Oh, they're really flexible, actually. They're really flexible. They're great to work with. I talked to a bunch of people out there, and they're from the Xamarin community, and they work with your company. They offer free trials. They gave me a lot of my software free for doing the talk. Just they're really interested in. Remember, this was based in an open source environment. So you can actually start out developing a lot of this technology on the open source aspect, and then you'll need some to the pay versions at some point for doing monotouch and so on. But you can go a long way just with the open stuff. Other questions? Yes. Go ahead. What have I been using this for? I just think, what was that? Exactly. I've not done this at, this is not for intellectual ventures. This is basically stuff I've been looking at on my own. Yeah. Question in the, right there, yeah. I don't know. It's a good answer. Here, that's worth a t-shirt. Oh, I just, made it. More questions? I want to know what you're going to say first. See if you earn the t-shirt. You know, I have done, I have used Xamarin Studio for the native Mac development, and it was great, and it worked really, really well. But then when I used Visual Studio with the Xamarin plugins, I just got more of the experience I was looking for. The Xamarin Studio is very well done, very comfortable, and it's also really nice because then you're right there and the Xcode stuff's right there and it's all right there and you're not fooling with the VMs. So sometimes if you're in a situation where you just want to be prototyping a Mac, you know, iOS app, I would just be in Xamarin Studio. But ultimately, you should be, you know, long-term Visual Studio using all three. Yes? Wow, you know, gee. So iOS 4, 5, 6, 6.1 were all out within 24 hours. And Miguel, I think is his name, has promised that 7 will be out within 24 hours as well. So that's pretty responsive. Awesome. Any other questions? Yes. What was that? You know, it's not everything. And there's development going in, you know, basically, I don't know. It's probably a good answer. But they've written a lot. I haven't run to situations yet where it didn't have what I wanted. But of course, I wasn't writing, you know, certain sorts of specific apps. So, let's see. What was that? Are what? Are they really, they have dead link problems? So in all fairness, I've found a few problems on the website myself. Some of the code, some of the things have been changing so quickly that although they're getting their code out immediately within 24 hours and the stuff works and there's, you know, very few bugs, that the website and some of the documentation has lagged behind. Could you raise your hand, please, who had just asked that question? Because I can't, about the dead links, because I can't really see that well. All right. Oh. Okay, there's a question farther in the back. Yeah. They have, wow, interesting. They have different support levels. And depending on whether you're an individual customer or business customers, they have different response times in the red. So that's all the t-shirts. So nobody has to answer my questions. But they're pretty good. What else? Anything else? Yes? I'm sorry, what was that? No, I have not. Yeah. Oh, so did you say mono? Yes. So I used to actually work at, when I was working at Microsoft, I was actually on the .NET for Unix team. The secret .NET for Unix team, although I guess it's not a secret because, anyway, there was a .NET for Unix team 2003. You know, after the time that the rotor stuff was coming out in the shared source CLI, which it came into, then there was a team that was after that was working on productizing it for Unix and so on, and that effort was given up ultimately as not being the right direction based on the customers we had and directions that we were going at Microsoft. Around that time, Mono was being developed by Zimian, predecessor of this whole. It's interesting. I'll just take an aside to talk about. So Mono is the Spanish word for monkey. Right? And Zimian, I think, is actually Simeon. It's like based on Simeon, it's a monkey joke. And then they came to Novell and Attachmate and spun off, and then we started a company again. They couldn't call it the same name, so they called it Xamarin, which I think is just close to Zimian, which is close to Simeon, which is close to Mono, which means monkey. So just a little trivia. Again, originally in Mono, this is what the whole stuff, Mono is really cool, works really well. I've written lots of really simple calculation, simple UI applications, but heavy calculation applications that would work on different platforms. I was briefly at a company that we were shipping some of our security stuff as GUI stuff on Windows as well as Unix as Windows, using using Mono as a core. The Xamarin stuff really comes in when you're talking about iOS and when you're talking about Android, or when you're talking about taking advantage of Mac-specific features. And the just straight Mono is great when it's just generic, write once, run anywhere app, so which is also very, very useful and free. Question? Yes? So just with the phone platforms, on the iOS, it's compiled into a binary. It runs just as fast as everything else. It's no difference. The performance is excellent. The compiler's excellent. It's same compilers you might use anyway, right? So that's same optimizer. So, and you can read about the Xamarin website. The on the Android, it's not the exact same. It's using a JIT instead of the Java, instead of the Android stuff. But they're saying that their studies show that in-house applications run comparably fast, if not faster, in most situations. So that's a little bit of. So I believe it runs just as fast, until I've been shown that it doesn't. Does that answer the question? I'm trying to be unbiased here. Next question. Well, thank you all for coming. Yes, one more. I have not. But I'm not, I would not be an expert on who's using what, for sure. Well, thank you all.